is a powerful weapon that causes the enemy to flee. You know, as I was praying today about what I believed the Lord wanted to bring through the message today, I was also thinking about Lazarus when he came out of the tomb. In John 11, we read about this, and I love this story so much. I particularly like it when we see Jesus standing before the tomb. And it says in verse 41, so they removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me." I just love the confidence that he has in talking to the Father. And it's the same confidence you and I are invited into as sons and daughters of God, that we can pray with Jesus, our Father. Thank you that you hear me. Hallelujah. And then he says, when he'd said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Hallelujah. The man who had died came forth. Now, bear in mind, he had been dead for how many days? 4 days. By this time, he stinketh. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with cloths. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." You know, it was the picture that the Lord had, and Nick was just sharing that in worship. He was seeing yokes falling off people. And I really believe that the Lord is calling us into a new season where God is saying it's time to unwrap the grave clothes. There's things from the past season, sadnesses, heaviness, that God's called you into a new season, and you can't step into the new season with the clothes of the old one. That it's time to take off the grave clothes and to step into the sunshine. Hallelujah. To be intentional, to shake off the dust and to remember that in this new season, as I step in into the promises of God, as I step into the sunshine of his love, as I step into resurrection life, I'm not called to carry the weights and the regrets and the sadness or even the old mindsets and old thinking patterns of the past. But God has called us to have the mind of Christ, to have our minds renewed by the washing of the Word. That's why we read the Word morning and evening. It's delicious. It's good for you. Hallelujah. To meditate on it, to let it adjust you, to speak to you. And it's why we take time to worship God, to focus on Him. Because the Bible says, in His light, we see light. Hallelujah. It's like in that place of worship. Everything becomes clear. He releases the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I can see clearly now. The rain has gone. Oh, you remember. Because in His light, the spirit of wisdom and revelation sets your heart back into alignment with the perspective of heaven. We've been talking about how God wants us to come up higher, to be viewing things from the perspective of being seated with Him in heavenly places, not to be viewing it on the earth with our limited perspective, but to be remembering that we've been called to be seated with Him in heavenly places and see from His perspective. I started on Friday night speaking about the power of praise and worship, the power of thanksgiving. And, you know, often I would read through the Psalms as a younger woman, and I'd read through them, and you'd read some of these Psalms that are like, shout to the Lord, and they're just praise psalms. And you think, well, that's nice, but, you know, not so relevant to me. I want to find something that's going to, you know, really speak to my soul. Anybody ever thought that randomly to themselves? And we miss the revelation of the power of praise. Australia is known for a fantastic song written by Darlene Check years ago. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. And it's just straight praise, worshiping God. Why does it have such an impact? Because praise is a weapon. It's a powerful weapon that as we are praising, as we are thinking about the majesty of God, all the thoughts of anxiety and fear are replaced with the remembrance of His glory and His wonder. Hallelujah. We enter His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. As we're giving thanks, as we're thinking about Him, we're glorifying Him. And so I wanted just to speak a little more about this today, because I believe the Lord, there's a key for us in coming out of the place of old mindsets, of having our heads wrapped up with grave clothes, having our lives still covered in heaviness from the past. One of the ways that we shake that off and that we put on the new clothes is found in Isaiah 61. He says He gives us the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. And so praise replaces grave clothes. It replaces heaviness. And we have to be intentional when we are stepping out of something, not just to try to step out of it, but to recognize that the way we get out of it is to replace it with praise. Hallelujah. I went down to visit my dad this week. He was having an operation. And so I went and saw him in the hospital. He's an army vet, so he gets private hospital. There's a lovely hospital down there. What's it called? John Flynn. And so I got to sit with him and talk with him and enjoyed it so much. And as I'm chattering away, talking about just random stuff, suddenly he tears up and he says, "Gosh, I love you." And he's so, I mean, I love my dad. I so enjoy him. But, you know, when I was younger, Mum and Dad were divorced when I was very young. And actually, when I was two, he got sent to Vietnam as a doctor in the army. And then when he came back when I was four, Mum and Dad were divorced. And so I only got to see him a couple of times a year. He's always been my hero. But when he'd occasionally pop in, which was very occasional because he lived 12 hours away, and normally we'd fly down to see him. I remember occasionally he'd be in Brisbane for something and he'd pop in like for, it would never be longer than 15, 20 minutes. But when he'd walk in the door, I'd be like, oh, I'd run and grab my music stand and my clarinet and I'd come into the hallway and I'd put it up there and I'd choo, 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 beep, beep, choo, choo, beep, thinking, I want to impress him with how I can do something. Because as a child, my thinking was, he'll love me more if I'm impressive. What I didn't know, but I discovered when I became a parent and a grandparent, is that parents love their kids not because of what they can do, but because they love them. I love you because I love you. I could have been sitting there talking about anything and he'd still be there thinking, I just love that she's here. Because that's how I feel about my grown kids now. And that's the way Father God is with us. You know, often we come thinking, I want to impress you. I've let you down. But the good thing is about the love of God for us is it's not dependent on whether you've succeeded or failed. His love for you doesn't change. It's unending. It doesn't change. It doesn't stop. It doesn't end. He's for us. He's not against us. He's looking at you. He's loving you. He's got all that you need, and He is there, ready. He knows all about you, and He loves you anyway. Hallelujah. People get cranky when you start talking like this. They think, hang on, don't forget about sin. You know what? When you have turned from your sin and you're no longer doing it and you've received the grace of God, God's not thinking about your sin. Hallelujah. But It's the goodness and kindness of God that leads us to repentance. If there's things that are needing adjusting in our lives, I remember when I was had my little ones at home, if I had to go out to the shops or something and Mom looked after them, when I got in the door, little Joseph would be there going, "Up, cuddles." And my heart didn't stop first and go, "Well, hang on, Joseph, let's just talk about whether you behaved for your grandmother or not." Of course, the first thing I'd do is scoop down and pick him up because, "Oh, he's my baby boy, my little blue-eyed boy, come here." It's like it didn't matter. Anything that needed to be sorted out could be sorted out later on my lap. And you know, sometimes though we get the idea with God that we got to sort it out before we're privileged to have a cuddle. But when we understand the love of God that is far better than any human love, as we begin to understand that, God will release in your heart the revelation of His goodness and His mercy that will empower you by His Holy Spirit to engage in true praise and worship that leads you into ever-increasing joy. Hallelujah. Psalm 139, verse 17 says, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, you're still with me." I was saying the other night that the Lord was reminding me of his thoughts toward me the other night. And I'm thinking that, you know, God's got so many things on his mind. He's probably thinking about all the things on his mind. But he, you know, as he does all the time, he's got everybody, he's got the whole world, hallelujah. But his thoughts toward you all the time are more than could be numbered. That you're always on his mind. Can a woman forget her child or have not compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they could forget, but I will not forget you. See, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. I'm thinking about you all of the time. And when we begin to understand this incomprehensible love that doesn't end, that isn't temporary, that isn't seasonal, that isn't dependent on your performance, but is an ocean that doesn't end, it changes the parameters in which you can engage. That in season or out of season, you can come to him just as you are. You can come to him and know that he'll always be running towards you. That he's always a step ahead and that he's always looking forward to your company. Hallelujah. So why praise? What is it? We sing it, you know, sometimes I remember people would tell me, "You know, enough of this happy clappy stuff. You know, let's just get into the intimate worship." I mean, I love intimate worship. I love the glory. I love worshiping God. And you can get that attitude. Why are we doing this happy clappy stuff? The Bible calls it praise. Make a joyful noise, shout to the Lord, sing, dance, hallelujah. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Praise is not just a warm-up for worship. It is a powerful weapon that causes the enemy to flee. It's a powerful tool in spiritual warfare because when you are praising the high praises of God, the enemy cannot stand it. He can't stay. Hallelujah. As God is exalted, when we lift up the name of Jesus, as we exalt him, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. As we are lifting him up, as we lift up the name of Jesus, as we praise, as we shout, as we celebrate him, the enemy can't stay. The enemy flees. Hallelujah. And it's a powerful way to engage in spiritual warfare. So why praise? I love praise and worship. Praise because it's not about us. It's about Him. You are faithful. You are good. You are holy. And when we're thinking about Him, He draws us out of ourselves and into Himself. Reminds us, it's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. It is, He is our life. We've lost our lives to find His. And as we look at Him and as we worship Him, as we focus on Him, as we talk about His goodness and His faithfulness, as we intentionally open our mouths to praise and to glorify God, we are deliberately shifting the focus from an inward narrative of it's all about me. And as we do that, as we minister to Him, bless the Lord, oh my soul. You know, the scripture says, why are you downcast within me, soul? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, soul. Forget not all His benefits. The psalmist is speaking to his soul and saying, hey, what you doing? Your focus is in the wrong place. Bless God. You're feeling downcast? You're feeling discouraged? Bless God. Why? Because when you bless Him intentionally, when you make a choice to shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. As you intentionally praise God, as you intentionally open your mouth and let blessing and praise come out of your mouth, the focus shifts from yourself to Him. And when we see Him, in His light, we see light. And as we minister to Him, then He ministers to us. As we get the focus right again, then He comes and He tells us how He feels about us. And then our hearts are so moved that we respond again with, oh God, great is Thy faithfulness. And that's where worship really gets sparked. As we praise Him, we're focusing on Him. He speaks to us. He provokes worship in our hearts. And we get this glorious place where He becomes our glory and the lifter of our heads. Psalm 3, verse 3 says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. That's who He is, the lifter of our head. The one who lifts up our heads to see Him, to get it off the, woe is me, to the, I will bless the Lord. Why are you downcast, soul? Hope in God, bless Him. I'll bless you. I'll praise you. I'll praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'll praise you because you've redeemed me. I'll praise you because you're holy. And as you do, the Holy Spirit's lifting up your head, shifting your focus. Hallelujah. And in His presence, there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. As we lift up our heads, we get to see His smiling face. Number 6, that beautiful Aaronic prayer, and that the priests are called to pray, is the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you. The idea of God making His face shining on us is what happens when we lift up our face. As we lift up our eyes, you might be expecting God to be there going, well, you've got a lot of nerve. You should be ashamed of yourselves. He says, smiling and shining His love on us, that causes us, if we are in sin, to come to repentance, because it's like, you are too good, God. His goodness and kindness leads us to repentance. Hallelujah. He's so smart. Because He knows that judgment and condemnation will only get you to put up a wall. But if you'll let Him lift up your head, you'll see His mercy, His grace, His goodness. And He will give you the power to turn from your sin and follow Him. Hallelujah. That's why He's known as the friend of sinners. Hallelujah. Praise helps us focus on and remember His goodness. And as we see His heart of love for us, it sparks gratitude in our hearts. And I've been thinking about this whole concept of gratitude, and I began to do a little bit of research. There's been so many studies on the power of thanksgiving, the power of what happens scientifically, physiologically, psychologically, when we give thanks. And so I rang a few different, we got a bunch of doctors in our congregation, and my brother-in-law is a psychologist. I rang them all today, and I said, help me get my facts straight. I've heard it said that when you are giving thanks, that same, you're using the same part of your brain that you would if you were feeling anxious. And the doctors explained to me, well, it's a bit more complicated than that. You know, your thoughts then affect your emotions, and your emotions are affected by, they're brought about by your hormones and your endocrine system and all the thyroid and all the things. But basically, what you think will affect all the systems in your body and release either stress or in happy dopamine. Hallelujah. And then when I talked with the psychologists, they told me that gratitude actually reframes our thoughts from anxiety, that's future, to focusing on the present and giving us a dopamine hit that enhances our mood, our mental state, and our physiology. So that when you start, so say you're being anxious and worrying about tomorrow. You know, I love Corrie Ten Boom. She wrote the book The Hiding Place. Anybody ever read The Hiding Place? If you haven't, you probably should. She and her Dutch family, they hid Jews from the Nazis during World War II. And then someone betrayed them, and her whole family, her sisters, her father and mother, they were all taken to a concentration camp. And during that time, her sister died, her mother and father were killed. But Corrie survived, and this is one of the quotes that I love from Corrie Ten Boom, and it was, they were all believers, they loved the Lord, and they kept such a beautiful attitude. But Corrie would say, "Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." And that's the reality, that worry doesn't actually help tomorrow and make tomorrow any better. All it does is it saps the strength and the grace that you've got for today. And that's why the Bible says, don't be worried about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request be known to God. So psychologists, you know, they'll actually do this exercise to help patients and tell them to think of three things that they're grateful for. And by the time they've expressed their gratitude for these three things, they've reframed their anxiety, their anxious thoughts, which release all the negative stress hormones, to present happy thoughts, and they get a dopamine hit, you know, by the time they've expressed three things that they're grateful for. So scientifically, they're just catching up with what the Bible has always taught. That basically, when we give thanks, when we praise, we are throwing off the garments of heaviness, and we are putting on in exchange joy. We are putting on, with praise, we are entering into the place of joy. They've studied and absolutely scientifically linked gratitude to the experience of joy, which you think you probably didn't need a scientific study to see that, but it's true. I was saying Emily and I were in Korea, and there was a man there that had a PhD in joy. They called him Dr. Joy, and they he would work for the hospital with cancer patients and very ill patients, and basically he would have sessions with them where he would make them laugh, and not by telling funny jokes. He would just like, let's laugh now, ha 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 ha, ha 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 ha. Because his studies had found that even a forced laugh released the same dopamine, released the same whatever it is, chemical things in your body, that help the healing process in your physical body. And of course, he's a believer as well. And so during our 14-hour days with the Koreans go hard. I mean, they're so hungry with your teaching. They'll take a 15-minute joy break, and Dr. Joy would get up and say, everybody, do this. Ha, 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 ha. And we'd be like, ha, 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 ha. But after about 3 days, Emily and I really got into it. We're like, ha, 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 ha. Because it's true. There's something that happens when you laugh. Laughter, the Bible says, is good medicine. Hallelujah. It's healthy for us. And as we praise, that joy of seeing him in his glory, of beholding him, of remembering, as we give thanks, as we celebrate, as we express gratitude to God, that same joy and a greater joy is released into our hearts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. We can, you know it, but do you do it? You know, often we are so caught up in the grave clothes of the past season that we are habitually living with the wrappings around our head that have held us in old thought patterns. And God says it's time to take off the grave clothes and put on the mind of Christ. Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. Hallelujah. He goes on, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Make your requests known to God with thanksgiving. Sometimes it's easy to make all the requests known, but I was saying the other night that for me, it's a bit like writing an email. When I finally get to press send and I hear that whoosh sound. But you know, thanksgiving, when we pray, is a bit like that. The burden that we've been lifting to the Lord gets released.
Life and death are in the power of the tongue. This is my book, Speak Life, and I've put in here some declarations based on the Word of God that speak life and can change your world by faith as you declare them. Have a look at this. You could declare, I'm surrounded by your favor as with a shield. Or, I'm the healed of the Lord. Thank you for giving me divine health today. Your life flows through me. By your stripes, I was healed. There are declarations in the Word of God that you can make that will change your world. Grab a copy of Speak Life today, because I believe these declarations can help change.